Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Good morning. You know, I have an interesting conversation. Every once in a while, one of you says something on the text line that gets my attention, my interest. Having an interesting conversation. By the way, the text line is two-way. I can text you back if I want. Most of the time, I don't. But I just got a text from a dad. Hey, Tara, my wife and I don't agree between homeschooling and public schooling. I want public and she wants home. What are your thoughts? Here's what I wrote back. My experience has been that a good elementary school is attendable. You got to do your research. The elementary schools here in Greenville are very different in quality. We have excellent elementary schools, some of which post higher test scores than private schools. I would not pay for a private school in elementary school. You can get a better elementary school in public. But here's what I wrote to him. My experience has been that a good elementary school is attendable and still pretty innocent until the fourth grade. After that, the other kids will stand your hair on end. It's what I've learned this year. After fourth grade, I wrote, they become as foul as we were in high school, actually more so. There's a loss of innocence in today's kids that has no parallel in our generations. And it's absolutely true. So you have to make the decision for yourself. The really cool thing now is that homeschool is moving online. And so the days when mom had to do all the lessons or dad are over. You can get a great homeschool where the teachers teach online and grade your child's work. And so when you have a teacher, you have a classroom, you can interact. Liberty University actually has a pretty cool one. There's a charter school here, too, in South Carolina that does as well. So, you're getting all that interaction you would have in the classroom with the teacher. So, I don't know. We're struggling with it as a family right now, is my answer to the question. My daughter, at January of this past year, had gotten so bad she asked to be homeschooled. And it wasn't she didn't have friends. She has plenty of friends. She's a very socially adept, extremely likable girl. But the level of the perversion of the other kids had gotten to the point where she was uncomfortable every day and began to resent her teacher for not calling them out. And we had a lot of conversations about it. There were 29 kids in the class. And I liked her teacher. And I think her teacher was just literally at the point where she had lost control. And how do I explain this? There are no words to explain it. Other than, again, that the loss of innocence in today's kids has no parallel in our generations. And I tried to explain this on the show before. The school that my kids go to, we drive them there. We're not zoned for it. Is one of the highest testing schools in the entire state. It's in the top 10 at 800 elementaries. And the kids who go there are very, very affluent. You should see the houses in the surrounding neighborhoods. It's wide. So, it's like a parade of BMWs and Lexuses in the parking lot every morning. It looks like a private school. And these kids are really well-behaved. You think, wait, didn't you just say the opposite, Terry? No, they're very well-behaved. They're high achievers. These are not kids who come from single-parent families where, mom's dating a boyfriend on drugs. This is not that. This is the cream of the crop. And these kids are as hardened and as cold as anything I've seen. And it's not misbehavior. It's not that. They're sexualized. They are way sexualized. How do I put this? Grinding on the floor is what's funny. And that's the girls. Shorts up to your crotch. One of the fastest ways to become popular is to come out as gay or transgender. That's really hip, by the way, right now. If you are thinking, this is why Pete Buttigieg scares me. You do not understand how hip and hot homosexuality is. And to me, any kind of sexuality doesn't belong to fifth grade. It just doesn't. Like I said, there's a loss of innocence to today's kids that it literally has no parallel. So, by January, my daughter was asking, let me off the crazy train. And so I researched homeschools, and I mean, I've told her for the next year, she's really excited. She wants to play sports at the middle school she's going to. And I've told her, you are not trapped there. Anytime you want out, we're gone. We're done. The Liberty University School I told you about, they start any day of the week you want to. I said, you don't have to stay there. So she's going to give it a go for middle school, see if it's any better. I don't have high hopes, though. I really don't. I let my kids know, you are not trapped. You are not trapped with bullies. You are not trapped with anybody. You can come home and you can go to school there and you never have to go back if you don't want to. So we are testing the waters with some skepticism from me, some big skepticism. I mean, if we make it all the way to high school without homeschool, I'm going to be surprised. And I did not start out that way. I mean, you've heard me on this show for a long time about public school. I've been committed to the idea that my kids are going to have to face the lunacy out there, the cultural lunacy, and I don't want it to come as a shock to them. I want to use it to educate them along the way. They're going to have to live in this world. And that's been my take until fifth grade. And I've never seen anything like these kids. And again, they're not badly behaved in the way of, you would think, acting out or being disobeying the teacher. That's not it. It's the just over-sexualization. I think it comes from their computers and their phones. They all have computers and phones, by the way. You know what's amazing about this? Again, I told you these kids are cream of the crop. This just fascinates me watching this. Because of volunteering at school and this and that, I have a list of the parents. You know, there's not a single kid in this class that I'm telling you about who comes from a single-parent household. Not one. Two parents in a home. And yet. But what do you do? I mean, I get Dad's point here. I get his point. I mean, what are you going to lock the kid away in a tower like Rapunzel and somebody's going to have to climb up her hair? I mean, what are you going to do? I know. I get it. I want my kids to live in the real world. It's tough. But I have never seen anything like I've seen in the last year. And believe me, I mean, I'm not an innocent person. You know what I mean? I was a lapsed Catholic for 15 years. I'm not going to pretend to be, you know, Holy Mary here. I did it all, and I had a great time. I know how the world works. So, but we didn't have anything like these kids. I mean, if you're making a decision about where to educate your kids, public school, private school, homeschool, based on your experience in public school, you're using the wrong reference point. It's not the same. These kids are like nothing I've ever seen. Texter writes, my son's mother and I are kind of in the same boat. I want to send my son to a Christian school, and she loves public school. We are not together anymore, so she gets her way. Oh, that's always difficult. Texter writes, check into Classical Conversations for homeschooling. Texter writes, you're talking about a person being shot over a place. Oh, yes, we've had our second social media execution here in Greenville. In a month? This is the second time somebody didn't like something somebody else said online. Went, bam, killed him. It's teenagers this time. It's in the Greenville News this morning. Texter writes, you're talking about the person being shot over a post. They're not crazy. They've lost their fear of God, and they've been taught that no one is over them to hold them responsible for their actions. Texter writes, is it true that in Greenville County, you're not bound by the school district lines? Your kid can go to any school. Well, no, you have to go through the magnet process. And they're pretty good about... And you can magnet into a top scoring school that outscores private school, but you got to be willing to drive. They will not send the bus. And one of the best ways to get a true side-by-side comparison of schools is schooldigger.com. Just put schooldigger.com, best elementary schools, South Carolina, and they will all line up. And there's a dramatic difference in test scores. But yeah, the magnet process is in the fall. I should remind you, actually. You can ask the school, ask for the magnet process. And you can, you know, they'll let you try to get into a couple schools. You'll almost always get into one. It's great. Greenville is great that way. Most other places I've lived, you're locked into where you live. Texter writes, hey, Tara, put yourself in the shoes of the classroom teacher. I do. I mean, my daughter had a lot of animosity toward her because she knew what the rules were. She knew these other girls were not supposed to be in, you know, shorts, literally underwear showing out of the shorts when they sit down. I mean, it is unbelievable. And so that put the pressure on her. I don't let her wear shorts like that. And she had been popular for the other 3 years of, you know, 4 years of school. And now she couldn't because I won't let her dress like the rest. And she resented the teacher for not enforcing the dress code. And I did too, a little bit. But when you got 29 kids and they are this crude and out of control, I mean, it'd be nothing but swatting them down all day. I mean, I kind of get it. And Texter writes, Tara, this is all because we took God out of the schools and because God is absent from the home as well. Yeah. Now, you know what it is, though? Here's the thing. I bet you a lot of the parents of the kids I'm telling you about have no idea what their little darlings are really like. And you know why they don't know? It's coming into the house through the computer and the phone. This is where this is coming. I'm telling you, they are so sexualized. They are just, it's almost like they're, I don't want to say groomed, but it's close. Texter writes, I've noticed with my 12-year-old daughter, her friends are unlimited on their phones and iPads where we restrict our daughter. So we know for the fact her friends watch porn, which is why we can't allow her to be with them at their place. Their parents' standard is too low for us. Yeah, no, you got to watch that phone. Yeah, but, you know, the first time I found porn, on a kid's phone, my 11-year-old nephew, I said, can I check the weather on your phone? He said, yeah. And it was right there. He'd been watching it. Yeah, that was a kerfuffle right there. Let me tell you, he's 11. But then I looked it up online. That's the average age they see porn online for the first time. So you can kind of see that's about right. That's fifth grade. It's fifth grade.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, well, we're talking about crazy. Golly, there's a lot of crazy in the news this morning. Okay, let's start with this. The Democrats, having temporarily defeated Trump on being able to ask if people are legal or illegal on the census. Because the Democrat Party no longer, you know, draws a distinction between citizens and non-citizens. That has become offensive. You can't do that. You can't. Not allowed. I mean, listen to this. By the way, let me start with this. Let's let Bernie tee this up. He debuted the new Democrat Party talking point. You're going to love this one. Listen to how he does this. Just watch the sleight of hands here. He's talking about why we can't ask on the census if people are citizens. Do you realize, by the way, the citizenship question has been on the census since 1870? You know when that stopped? The citizenship question has been on the census since 1870. You know when that ended? 2010, in the reign of during the reign of Barack Obama. So, I mean, the controversial thing is not that Trump wants to put it on. The Democrats and media have done an amazing job of framing this. What should be controversial is that Obama ever took it off. That's what was radical. Now, listen to what Bernie's just done here. This is the new talking point. This is the new thing. Take a listen.
This census fight has become one of the leading hot topics, with Democrats accusing the Trump administration of trying to marginalize minorities with the question.
Anderson, I don't think there's anybody who has any doubts as to why they want that question. It's to undercount Latinos so that they can create congressional districts which will not be Democratic, and also make sure that federal funding does not go to those underserved and often minority communities.
What a crock. Are they trying to undercount Latinos? No, they're not. This won't undercount Latinos at all. Any Latino who's a citizen or has a right to be here is not going to be undercounted. Now, what he means is they're trying to undercount illegals, and that we no longer draw a distinction between illegals and citizens. Ergo, if you don't want to count illegals in the exact same way you do citizens, you are a racist. You are attempting to repress Latinos. You can argue to your blue in the face, but no. Latino citizens are fine. Doesn't matter. They don't draw the distinction anymore between citizens and non-citizens. They refuse to. This is where they are. It is impossible to repress or deny services to Latinos who are citizens using the census and following the law. What they're talking about is breaking the law. Which, Nancy Pelosi, I mean, what a stunning thing it is to see the Speaker of the House of the United States of America, just a few heartbeats away from the presidency, on national television, advising illegal immigrants how to illegally thwart ICE, how to illegally thwart law enforcement, enforcing the very laws she could change at any time. I mean, this level of lawlessness.
An ICE deportation warrant is not the same as a search warrant. If that is the only document ICE brings to a home raid, agents do not have the legal right to enter a home. If ICE agents don't have a warrant signed by a judge, a person may refuse to open the door and let them in.
Lawless. They're lawless. Okay, this is the woman who doesn't want to do border enforcement, does not want to do interior enforcement, as she explained last week.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Okay, so remember like 2 weeks ago, President Trump said to Pelosi, okay, we got these million people we're going to deport. They've all got deportation orders from a judge. And she said, oh, no, please don't deport our voters. Those illegals. And Trump said, okay, you got 2 weeks. You got 2 weeks to do it. Fix our asylum laws. And what they need to fix is not really our asylum laws that need fixing. It's these judges who have, you know, are part of the judicial dictatorship, who have interpreted these asylum laws in ways that Congress never intended and ways that leave the borders wide open. And what Trump needs is Congress to fix that. He's been begging for it since Paul Ryan was in charge. The Republicans were in charge. So Pelosi's asking, oh, okay, well, so you guys don't seem, you know, you're whining and complaining about this flood at the border, but I mean, y'all haven't done anything in 2 weeks. 2 weeks you begin, you haven't even tried. I mean, you mean to try? You intend to try? Okay, well, in a stunning press conference, in a stunning answer to that question, Nancy Pelosi explained why she's taken no action at all to curb illegal immigration into the U.S. And while explaining why she will not allow Congress to debate, change, or modify immigration laws or any of these judges' rulings that are leaving the border wide open, she essentially outlined how the U.S. is part of a global society without borders and without any sovereign right to impede the quote-unquote human society from entering our nation. And therefore, you listen to what she's saying. According to her outlook and worldview, U.S. politicians have no right to stop any migration movement. She doesn't have any intention whatsoever of doing anything about it except whining if Trump tries to round up people who have deportation orders. And folks, if you can't send home somebody who has a deportation order, who can you send home? Senator Cotton asked that question.
And let's just think about the Democrats' position here. These are people who have claimed asylum in our country. They've had their day in court. They've had their claims rejected. And now they face a valid and final order of removal. If we can't deport people like that, who can we deport?
Well, no one. No. Pelosi explained last week. They want to decriminalize border crosses. You can come here all you want. Once you get here, well, there's not going to be any interior enforcement.
In terms of interior enforcement, what is the what's the point? I won't even go into what the motivation might be for that.
To secure our border? Protect us from another 9/11 style attack? I don't know. That's just off the top of my head. So yesterday, when Pelosi's asked, well, you know, Trump's giving you 2 weeks to fix this flow over the border that you're complaining about. You going to do it? She's like, no. And then she repeats the falsehood again that our asylum laws allow people to illegally enter the country. No, they do not. They allow them to come to a port of entry and apply for asylum. Yes. Those ports of entry may be on American soil. But she likes to muddy the issue. No, she's like, anybody wants to walk in here, they just walk in here as long as they want. Whoa, 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 she says. Now listen to what she's saying. She's explaining she has no intention of stopping the flow or fixing the asylum laws or doing anything that'll stem the flow. Because people have a right to come into the country according to international law, and that's what she follows. Folks, this is the Speaker of the United States of America.
Do you see any momentum to change the asylum laws?
Well, the asylum laws are what they are. In other words, it's important for people to understand what they are. We're part of a global society. And when someone comes to a country seeking asylum, and they are not breaking the law coming into the country, and they have to prove their case that they have a well-founded fear of persecution. So it's not a question of saying we're going to change the global human rights dynamic that exists.
Okay, so what she's telling me to translate for you. This is stunning. We're part of a global society. We have to subvert our laws to what other people want. Oh, by the way, did you see the New York Post article? You ever seen those pictures? You know how they let millions of migrants just walk into Europe? Didn't even check who they were. Just let them walk in. You've seen the long lines and they snake for miles, right? It's literally an invasion. Well, Europe, I don't know if you knew this, has cracked down pretty heavily on that. And you got to go to camp now, and it's in Libya, and the conditions are horrific. So anyway, the New York Post, Betsy McGahey wrote the piece, was reporting yesterday those people that were coming from parts of Africa, a lot of them terrorist harboring and sponsoring nations, and those caravans you saw the picture of going into Europe, right? They're coming here now. They're catching hundreds of them on the border a day. Let that sink in. And she has no plans to stop it. None. We're part of a global community. We can't think that our laws should trump international law. We got to let them migrate. They want to migrate, we got to let them do it. It's not up to us. I mean, she just outlined how the U.S. is part of a global society without borders, without any sovereign right to impede the human society from entering our nation. Our laws don't matter. You know, you got to think at some point, okay? This message will pervade the American psyche. Laws don't count. If it's illegal, the IRS has a whole list of the lawbreakers. They send them the money anyway, even though it's illegal for them to get a refund or a tax transfer from you. At some point, people are going to begin to question, if the laws of this country do not apply to illegals and I have to pay for their health insurance and welfare, then I'm not paying taxes. Law didn't apply to them. Why should it apply to me? This is the Pandora box they're opening. Why should I pay their bill? Why? Law doesn't apply to them. Been made perfectly clear by the Democrats. Why should tax law apply to me? And I would love to hear somebody put this question to a Democrat and have them explain it. I'd love that. But I want to end this segment with this. This is a brilliant paragraph from issuesandinsights.com. The article is Trump adheres to the law on immigration, shocking lawless Democrat. They cannot believe he's enforcing the law, and they're outraged by it. Here's the quote. Tell me this is not going on in our country. If we are not going to deport illegal aliens who have had their cases adjudicated with final deportation orders fully in accord with due process, then Democrats would have effectively opened the borders to Central America and the entire third world to just walk in and sign up for welfare paid for by U.S. citizens. That would amount to a coup against American democracy, as that policy has never been adopted into law by representatives democratically elected by those same U.S. citizens. Bingo. You know how you know things have gone off the rails? Here's Lindsey Graham last night on Fox News. You ready for this? Mr. Open Borders himself, Mr. Let's just amnesty the whole third world. Why not? They're already here. He thinks the Democrats are nuts.
If I'm President Trump, I'd go to Florida and show up next November and get reelected.
Is that all it's going to take?
Literally, Mr. President, if you're watching tonight, just enjoy this. Be quiet. Because here's what they're saying. They're going to decriminalize crossing the border illegally. And once you get here, they'll give you free health care. How many people in the world do you think will take us up on the offer, come to America, there's no more criminal liability, and when you get here, we will give you free health care? This is insane. Yeah. It's insane.
I know. Do you realize what it would take to do that, by the way? Now think about this. Let's walk through, because this is the Democrat Party position. I'm not exaggerating. He's not either. He's a moderate. Well, he's actually a man playing a Republican on television and get elected. But anyways, not really one, or a conservative, but whatever. Now think about what this will take, okay? In order to produce the Democrat Party platform, which is decriminalize border crossing, provide free health care once you get here. Lindsey Graham just laid out, right? What that will mean is that you will have to suspend the enforcement of laws on the books having to do with illegal immigration, while enforcing the laws on the books having to do with paying your taxes for welfare. Paying your taxes to support illegal immigrants who are not legally here, who are literally breaking the law every time they take a breath. Think about what that system would do to the American psyche. It would break our system of laws. It already is. It's already happening. But they're just codifying it. See, right now, it's not codified. It's going on. But it's not the official policy of this country that we enforce laws that say you have to pay for the illegal immigrants' health care. And that was just codified into law in California. That was just signed this week. It's law in California right now. Illegal immigrants under the age of 25 get free health care if they qualify as poor. California residents under the age of 25 in general don't get free health care. Only if they're poor. So, I mean, we're literally giving illegal immigrants free taxpayer-supported health care before citizens as a whole get socialized health care. Think about that. So, I mean, this system they're describing, in which we ignore laws that apply to illegals, but enforce laws that force you to pay for the perks to attract the illegals here. So we will have a system where laws apply to you. Go ahead and try to thwart the IRS, see how that works. Those laws will apply. Laws apply to citizens, but not to non-citizens. And laws apply to citizens so the money can be confiscated to pay the perks to the non-citizens. It's helter-skelter. It's contradictory. It's unnatural. It's bizarre. It doesn't work. And it will break the country. It will break the country. Forcing Americans to pay for health care and welfare as a public policy, as declared by the Democrat Party with their hands in the air at that debate. I mean, think about the contradiction of that. No society can stand long term when laws do apply in the extreme to one group of people, but not at all to others. That society cannot continue to function. It will break down because it denigrates the rule of law in general. It makes people take things less seriously. You ever see what happens like in a elementary school class? That teacher who lets some kids at the beginning of the year get away with breaking her rules, rules everyone knows are enforced. By the end of the year, she's lost control of the class. And she's lost them. Nobody takes anything seriously anymore. That's what will happen in this country. And I'm telling you, Democrats think they want this because they think individually we'll just go right on like a bunch of dumb schmoes and keep paying our taxes. But they can't stop the hurt. They can't stop the hurt. And when they break the rule of law in this country, you can't psychologically put it back together. The force of law is a psychological phenomenon. It is. Texture writes, isn't the free health care for some and others and not others discrimination? Yes, it is. Texture writes, how long before our society collapses, Tara? I can't wait. I don't know. Call Nancy Pelosi's office. I don't know what their timetable is. They've apparently accelerated it, though. You can tell. Texter writes, oh, thank God, I always love to hear advice from Mr. 0.01% of the vote, Flimsy Graham. Well, no, wait a second. No, we do not know that he actually got or would have gotten a 1% of the vote in the presidential race in South Carolina. We don't know that because remember, he was in the margin of error when he was at 1%. So it's a 3% margin of error. So, I mean, he could technically be at negative 2%. God. Texter writes, hey, Tara. Stranger Things season 3. Yeah, my husband and I are planning to finish that this weekend. We're enjoying it enormously. Have you noticed the sharp uptick in foul language and relationship advice? Yeah, I know. They must be watching Team USA or something. Texter writes, the only thing worse than the women's soccer team's vulgar actions, I think they mean during the ticker tape parade, is the fear that there might be a secret sex video. Oh, God. No. No, I couldn't watch that. They don't pay me enough. They don't pay me enough.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.